I've often heard, perhaps you have too, people speak of having amazing experiences up on a mountain. What is it, church? What is it that about mountains that evoke such emotion, such incredible experiences? Why is it upon a mountain that so many of us receive our inspiration or pray for and receive some form of revelation? Why is it that we feel God's presence so closely on a mountain? Before Andrea and I had children, we were on a road trip and decided to go up Mount Washington in New Hampshire to do some hiking. And I was not expecting my little Honda Civic to make the journey up Mount Washington, but it did. The hiking was spectacular and the scenery was extraordinary, or so I was told. See, I have a rather pronounced fear of heights. Andrea does not. So pronounced is my fear, in fact, that just preaching from this pulpit has done wonders for my prayer life. Anyway, on this hiking adventure, Andrea, on several lookouts, would climb right to the edge of a cliff, sit down and dangle her legs over the edge and peer down to the mountain below. Thinking about it now gives me cold sweats. She would peer down at the beauty below her while I was holding tightly to a tree trunk several hundred feet back. Even still, I understand that mountains are rather remarkable. So many important events, you'll recall, so many important events in the Bible take place on the mountain. Remember, it was on Mount Horeb that Moses was called to set God's people free from slavery in Egypt. It was on Mount Sinai that God gave the Ten Commandments. It was on a very high mountain that Jesus withstood temptation. From a mountaintop, Jesus preached his beloved Sermon on the Mount. And time again, Jesus went up a mountain to pray, like he did in today's gospel lesson. Jesus took Peter, James, and John up a mountain so that they could pray together. And while they were there, Jesus suddenly changes. Luke says the appearance of Jesus' face changes, but he doesn't give us any more specifics than that. When Matthew tells the story, he's a little more generous with details. He says Jesus' face shone like the sun. Perhaps that's what Luke was referring to. And then Luke tells us that Jesus' clothes become dazzling white, and alongside him on that mountain stand Moses and Elijah, giants of the faith, but dead for centuries. Please don't ask me where they came from or how they got there, because I don't know. But Luke tells us that these three persons, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, there together they are on the mountain, and Moses and Elijah appeared in glory. Again, I'm not sure exactly what to make of all this because Luke is characteristically sparse with his details. But I'm pretty sure of this. For Peter, for James and John, perhaps even for Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, This was an incredible spiritual experience. Peter recognizes how wonderfully spiritual all of this is, for he says, "Master, this is just amazing. Can't we just freeze this one moment in time? Then we can come back to it again and again and again when we need it spiritually. See, we'll even build 3 houses up here," he says, "one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and we'll all just stay right here." Bless his heart, Peter wants them to stay on the mountain, where they've just had this wonderfully transformative spiritual experience. But Jesus knows they can't do that. In fact, Jesus, the text indicates, is already on his way back down. Jesus knows he needs to go back down into the valley. Those are the people to whom he has been called. Back to the crowd that's waiting. Back to all the folks who are demanding his attention. All those who need his blessing. Those with depression and fear and blindness and pain and hunger and abuse. Jesus has been sent to them. And as wonderfully transformative as this mountaintop spiritual experience was, Jesus recognizes that it can't last. These wonderfully transformative spiritual experiences that we all have from time to time, they don't last. Because life is to be lived back down in the valley. The wedding was beautiful, made more beautiful by my sister Grace in her white beaded satin gown and long flowing veil. Her hair was done up so prettily. She had a broad smile upon her face. She was radiant with happiness. Jim, her groom, glowed with happiness in a handsome black tuxedo. I was honored to officiate at their wedding. And after I pronounced my sister and new brother-in-law husband and wife, there was much whining and dining and dancing. All of us, family and friends together, basked in the glory of Grace and Jim coming together in marriage. Watching the two of them out on the dance floor, caught up in the celebration of love, I remember this feeling of hope. This hope that the closeness between them right there in this moment would last forever, and that they would always know and feel the radiance of what they're feeling right now. But the moment did not last. How could it, really? Grace was on her way to her first tour of duty in Iraq, and Jim to his second tour of duty in Afghanistan. Church, if you've ever had a mountaintop spiritual experience, whether at youth camp or in worship in this sanctuary, or perhaps watching the sun rise over the ocean or set between two mountain peaks, these are glorious moments indeed. But they don't last. We can't stay on the mountain because those experiences don't last. And you know what? Maybe they're not supposed to. Maybe these mountaintop spiritual experiences are designed to give us the strength to go back down to life in the valley. I recently finished a book that was recommended to me. It was called Mortal Lessons, Notes on the Art of Surgery. The author, physician Richard Seltzer, reflects upon what he's learned in his profession and upon the meaning of life and death and what he calls the art of surgery. It's really a fascinating book, and in one of the essays he writes this: I stand by the bed where a young woman lies, her face post-operative, her mouth twisted in a sort of palsy. A tiny twig of the facial nerve, the one to the muscles of her mouth, had been severed. Dr. Seltzer writes, I had followed with religious fervor the curve of her flesh, I promise you that. Nevertheless, to remove the tumor in her cheek, I had to cut that little nerve. Her husband is in the room. He stands on the opposite side of the bed. The young woman speaks first. She says, Doctor, will my mouth always look like this? Yes, I say it will, because the nerve was cut. She nods and is silent. But her young husband, standing across the bed, smiles. I like it, he says. It's kind of cute. The doctor says, her husband then bends low to kiss her crooked mouth. And when he does, he twists his own lips to accommodate hers, to show her that their kiss still works. The way he describes it, it was a mountaintop experience down in the valley. Church, one of the most important things for you to remember is that God is always, always with you. Which means that God is with us not only on the mountaintop, not only in our times of joy. God is also with us down in the valley, in our hardest struggles, when we don't know how that biopsy is going to turn out, when our marriage is falling apart, when death knocks at our door. In this worship that we enjoy together, week after week, this mountaintop experience, if you will, it's not meant to stay here. Like Jesus, we go back down the mountain. We must walk out of these doors and share the love that we have been so generously given ourselves. Maybe that means offering a kind word to someone going through a rough patch. Maybe it means stopping to ask the waitress how she's doing before giving her the drink order. Maybe it's finding one of the youth of this church, telling them that God loves them and that you do too, and that if ever they need to talk, you'll be there. I love mountaintop experiences. We need them. But as I've said, they don't last. And perhaps they're not supposed to. Maybe these experiences give us a glimpse of God and give us the strength to live life in the valley. This week has been a difficult one for many, especially our dear friends in the United Methodist Church.
I hesitate to say anything about it because we Baptists have our own history of exclusion, not acting very lovingly all the time. So at this moment, when so many of our friends find themselves in the valley, perhaps our calling is to sit with them there, knowing that God is with us. Beloved, let us never forget, in our happiest moments, in our deepest distress, God is with us. And that makes life down in the valley very holy indeed. Amen.